Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
And number one is that news of the reduced capacity expectation for games in 2020 out at Arrowhead. So the Chiefs did announce that single game ticket sales plan with no 2020 season tickets. So if you're a Chiefs season ticket holder, there will not be season tickets this year. Again, they'll be credited, or you can, of course, give them a call and if needed and want to have a refund instead. I mean, look, we've seen something similar across the NFL already. The Steelers were one of the first teams to kind of do this. I think everybody realized there was a very good chance that it was going to be reduced capacity, if not none at all. And so in the release, it mentions they couldn't come up with really a fair way, essentially, to choose who's sitting where and how are we going to turn. So this was the way they went about doing it. It's also interesting, it mentions about the single game tickets going on sale if there's reduced capacity, that they're only going to sell tickets for the preseason, if there's a preseason, and the first few games of the regular season. So normally, all right, single game on sale and you can buy tickets in December.
I kind of like that Raiders game and whatever. Yeah.
Sure. That's not going to be the case. It's going to be maybe that Texans game, those first three or four home games, and that's it. And of course, that leaves the door open for both the positive, which is all of a sudden
maybe more TC3
or the
available.
Negative, which is we don't know if we're going to have anybody at that point.
And we don't want to have to keep issuing refunds.
And again, it's just they have to have all their options open. Nobody should be surprised by this. Yeah, of course, if you're a season toller, it's probably it's a bummer, right? Like a lot of things have been a bummer throughout this, right? I'm sure the Chiefs are very bummed out that
this has
been happening.
Add this to the bummer list.
Yeah.
Like you're keeping a list at home on your fridge like the groceries. Cody's COVID bummer list. Season tickets get canceled for one. Number two for what's trending, FIFA is taking a closer look at the World Cup for Kansas City as they try to narrow down their possible field of play. You know, Kansas City still, you know, I don't know if front runner is the right word, but still near the top of the list for potential sites for that 2026 FIFA World Cup. It's hard to imagine even hosting events right now. But they do have competition. Cities like Denver and others will be considered. Kathy Nelson, who's over at the Kansas City Sports Commission, said, "We all got caught up, held our breath when Big 12 was canceled, but we're feeling good about, you know, our possibility here." They understand that this is not an easy thing to get.
Oh,
every
man.
Single major city in the U.S. wants it. I'm just hoping Kansas City's really good history as a soccer town right now is going to push them over the edge. They've got really good facilities, really good history as a soccer town, and I've never seen a World Cup game. That would be awesome. I don't even care the two teams. It would be the U.S.
Correct.
I just want to watch World Cup game.
And there's a very good chance it wouldn't be the U.S.
New York or L.A.
Which is totally fine. Yeah. That's not what you're going for. You just want to be one of those honored host cities. And it certainly doesn't hurt when you see anytime there has been major soccer matches, though. What do they do? They cut to a live shot. Power and Light in Kansas City.
Yeah, every single World Cup.
And you can see the energy that's there. We saw it during the Women's World Cup. I mean, it was awesome to see. And that
was only a year ago. That feels like a decade ago.
It does. It at least feels like 4 or 5 years ago. No,
I just found
about
like a video Ruby, like my kid had made, where she was like pretend sipping the tea, like like Alex Morgan.
Hey. Knows? So that's hopefully a positive announcement down the road to come for Kansas City. Next up on What's Trending, now three Royals players have tested positive for COVID-19. The announcement yesterday that Ryan O'Hearn and Brad Keller joined Salvador Perez, who have tested positive. Now, Salvi hasn't been with the team, but Brad Keller and O'Hearn have been at Kauffman Stadium. They've been doing these workouts the last couple of days. The good news from their own personal health, very minor symptoms. Brad Keller said it reminds him of just like minor allergy symptoms at this point in time. Salvador Perez put out an Instagram post last night.
So he's feeling good.
He's feeling good. So that's good on that. On the baseball into it, very, very troubling. What we've seen across baseball with some cities and teams having issues with testing. But yeah, you've got a couple starters. And one is the pitcher. I go back to the pitcher standpoint just to single Brad Keller out, only because from a pure sports standpoint with it, it's already tough in the three-week period to get everybody stretched out, ready to go for opening day. There's a good chance he still could be your opening day starter. But with pitchers, if it happens in the regular season, like pitchers is the one position even more than any other where it's going to be more problematic for franchises if they have one or two guys go down.
Yeah, they've already got one starter. A guy who is definitively going to be in the rotation down, so we'll see. Another cancellation across sports. The Ryder Cup says they will postpone their 2020 tournament and instead knock it back to 2021. No real surprise on that end. As we see some of these like volunteer World Baseball Classic, Ryder Cup, some of these like international events that require a lot of travel, a lot of different players, and significant participation. But whatever, we'll just have it a different year. I'm not surprised to see this be the next victim of that. Obviously, you know, the majors are what golf is still trying to keep intact. They got other issues, still trying to make sure the Masters goes off without a hitch and whatnot. So they'll knock out the Ryder Cup this year and then move on through, you know, following. Especially with the PGA calendar being pushed back a little bit. There's just no reason to try to squeeze this one in.
No question. This was kind of a tough decision, but an easy one that at this point in time. Next up on What's Trending, we know the NBA bubble. Teams starting to arrive down there. July 29th. The WNBA also in Florida. Plenty of issues for both. Specifically, how about the WNBA? Have you seen the photos and the video that went viral a little bit, man? The WNBA is in like the IMG Academy, so they're not down in Orlando. I think they're in Bradenton, Florida. And there are bedbugs at the facilities that the players are staying at. There are mouse traps in the laundry room that the WNBA players are expected to do lunch.
Gross. It looked like the sketchiest Airbnb you've ever rented.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, you think some college dorm rooms are like terrible, like as far as the setups. This is way, way worse. It's a professional basketball league. The WNBA, they're dealing with that, and they still got to deal with COVID. And then as far as the meals go, we've seen some of the photos.
Look at the little fire
food. It's airline food, yeah.
Someone said it looked like the meal they bought at Hudson News, and I was like, that's it.
What, that's
the one.
$4 bag of chips?
Yeah. They claim in the next 48 hours it'll increase. Teams were allowed to bring personal chefs, so I assume the food will get better in the NBA bubble. Okay. But day one did not look promising.
I think part of the problem, too, is because the way they had to package everything to keep it safe.
It looked really sad.
It's not, you know, a lot of food, if you have it just with inside of plastic, a lot of things don't look all that appetizing versus when it's on a nice plate.
Looks like a hospital.
Exactly.
It is covered with that plastic tray, and I'm like, ugh. Do I have to eat this? Lastly, for What's Trending, Brett McMurphy says the Ivy League is set to announce today their move to spring football. We heard rumors about this maybe about a week ago or so. He says they're set to announce it soon. Now remember, the Ivy League does not participate really in the full BCS system. Yes, they have BCS teams on their schedule occasionally, but they will just play a schedule that is a round robin. Play each team one time, crown our own Ivy League champion. Won't care beyond that. According to sources to him, though, he said he doubts the Ivies will have much influence with the FBS schools. They aren't as vulnerable financially. By the way, if you like to gamble, now you get to gamble on football in the spring. I know you're going to be betting some Yale football game in April.
It depends what else is going on. If there's college basketball going on.
You are absolutely going to be betting some Yale football.
I'm trying to think, what's the craziest thing recently I've bet on? I did bet on the Nathan hot dog eating contest over 72.5 hot dogs. Thank you, Joey Chestnut.
That's the new record.
It is. I'm trying
you
to think.
Over.
I bet on NASCAR recently. I bet on
you're
golf.
Betting on Ivy League football this
week. I mean,
spring.
I may or may not have bet on Switzerland soccer the other day. I mean, it's all over the place.
I assume you're going to be betting on
probably
the Ivies.
It'll be interesting to see. Remember, the Ivy League was the first conference that canceled conference tournaments in March for basketball.
Yeah, so people
and everybody
like,
thought
is this
it was
the
crazy.
Domino? Is everybody going to move to spring football? One source to him saying, not so fast, but I still don't understand how college football is going to get any of this right.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 20 minutes at 12:30, our Royals insider Josh Vernier is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on now three positive tests for the Royals organization and just where baseball is at as a whole. And should they continue to move forward based on where testing is at? So Vern going to join us at 12:30. With baseball, we know that was a very public fight between the owners and the players. And
sure was.
Well, I think when that was going on, we mentioned at some point, is the NFL going to have a public fight? Is it going to be financial? Is it going to be health related? And are we at the tip of the iceberg with the latest, which is NFL GMs and head coaches were on calls, first of all, about the start date of training camp and things like that. But also, apparently, the NFL owners want to put some money aside, put it in escrow, about 35% or so, just in case the season doesn't happen or loss of revenue. That sound a little familiar, what we heard about baseball back in March with that agreement and all that. Not surprisingly, the players not really going for this one. It started with Michael Thomas, Saints wide receiver, of course. He said, everyone's just going to sit out and not play until they get their stuff together before we do this, with a laughing emoji. And then Patrick Mahomes quote tweeted and said, bro, what? With a couple
laughs. Well, he just got paid. He's not trying to just give all that
and
up.
And I think it was weird. At first, some people took it as like, people interpreted Mahomes' tweet differently initially.
Oh, as in like, as bro, in like, what, people are going
to
sit out?
To Michael Thomas.
And ooh, no, I'm having a hard time.
He meant as in, what? What do you mean they're going to keep our money? What do you mean they're going to keep our money? And then you saw a bunch of agents coming out and saying, yeah, good luck with this. The NFLPA, shockingly, I'm sure you're not surprised to hear this, that they're not. They're not on board with this. It is one option on the table if revenue is impacted by league-wide. Yeah, so, you don't want to be giving anybody 35% of your money. Hold on to it. Make some money off your money.
So that's the problem.
Nope.
The problem is when you have, so it turns out, and most of us will never know this because we're never going to be rich enough to do this. But even if you have a small amount of money, you know, you got like, not small, but you got $50, $100,000 set up in CDs across, right? We've got some successful businessmen who certainly listen to this show. Your interest allows that money to earn you more money, like you said. They're not saying they'll never give you the money. They're not asking for a 33% pay cut or a 35% pay cut like Major League Baseball owners were asking. But to take that money in escrow, let me just give you a little example of exactly how much money that is. So if you said 35% of all money is being put into escrow so that they can earn interest on it. Now, they're not going to spend it. It's going to be there to pay you the six. This is the difference. So it's 35%, $200 million salary cap per team. Now, that's maxed out, so I'm overestimating a hair. That would be $6.4 billion. Dollars they would keep in escrow. Gold, $6.4 billion. If they left that in escrow for a year, just in a low-risk investment account that earned them 1% or 2%, which is a pretty low yield for $6.4 billion in an investment account for a one-year term, if they got 1% of the $6.4 billion, they're making hundreds of millions of dollars off of you for free. Just because, like, hey, man, it might hurt us a little bit. So is it cool if we make $100 million off of, you know, the interest rate alone while you just don't have that money for a bit? And the players, reasonably so, are like, no, that's not cool. Between that and the preseason fight, I think there might be a little jawing back and forth between the players and the owners. Because everyone is going to try to protect themselves. And while the owners can certainly sustain it longer, I don't feel like I'd want to just be giving them a free $6.4 billion loan.
The only good news here.
Can I get half the escrow? Then let's talk. Can I get half the escrow and really you're just forcing me to save my money for a year? Okay. But if you're not giving me half, why am I even having this conversation?
There's two things that likely will prevent it from getting as nasty as what we saw playing out publicly between baseball. One,
the players have less power?
Sure. But one is the new CBA was just signed in March. I mean, they just got done. There's not an upcoming CBA negotiation like we were seeing with baseball and the fight that's knowingly going to come for that. And also, right now, the games, I won't say, of course, they're in jeopardy, but it's not definitive, right? Baseball got to a point where they knew they were missing, you know, 60 games or 80 and, you know, wherever,
yes,
100 games. The NFL owners aren't at that point now. They know they're going to lose revenue because lack of fans or no fans at all, but they're still games. Therefore, the TV money is still coming in. That's the only way.
So much in TV money.
Sure. And that's where things would change. That's why I don't think this would get ultimately to that level. But I don't like that I'm seeing some of this start already coming out publicly a little bit, even if it's just about something that seems as simple as escrow. And hey, when you hand out big contracts to players, they put money in escrow, but that's different. That's a whole different scenario.
They might want to solve this problem. Training camp is supposed to start in 2 weeks. Doesn't even seem viable right now because they don't have anything worked out. Now, baseball is also supposed to start in 2 weeks.
I mean, truly, think of it. In two and a half weeks, we're going to know.
If this is actually, if anything is actually going to pop off, yeah. Because I still have some reservations that in the next 6 days, baseball is going to be like, you know what? Shut her down. Like, oh, God. Is anyone else having a hard time imagining NFL training camp starting in 2 weeks?
I've been on the I don't believe we're going to have sports side of the argument pretty much this whole time. And I.
Not that you do.
I think sports will probably happen. I don't think we should have sports. And I would tend to say that it's a bad idea. But the NFL is going to obviously push this. And I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as Major League Baseball was. I don't think that they're going to miss games. There's just too much on the line for the NFL to miss any games.
I do think we see sports start. It's more the finish. Do we get to the finish line on it? I mean, clearly everybody's going to give it a go. And first up is MLS, and they've had a shaky start before it really started, right? With one team being kicked out in its entirety of the tournament, and then you've got baseball in the NBA here at the end of the month. And so, yeah, they're going to give it a go and it's going to start, but it's what happens 2 weeks down the road from there. You know, as far as the training camp stuff, the one positive looks like the NFL and NFLPA have reached an agreement on travel protocols for training camp and preseason. So we know the owners have cut it from 4 to 2. The players want 0 preseason games.
They still want the players to show up early.
They do. I've said this for the last couple of days, Cody. I really believe one preseason game is necessary to see that you can actually execute a plan on the road with teams and make it work. Not that you need it per se.
And nobody's allowed to have fans for it so that it's a break even financially.
Correct. Yeah.
Or
there's concern.
Split the gate if only half the teams.
I think you just need one to make sure you can. Okay. How's this going to look? So September 10th, when the season starts at Arrowhead, that, you know, the Texans aren't doing it for the first time, for example. That's why. Now I understand why you would say 0, which is, well, why travel and put anybody at risk earlier than we have to? I just think you need to make sure the plan works, because if we've seen with baseball, you can put these protocols on paper, but if you don't have, let's say, test results actually coming back, things are problematic. So what happened? How do you react? Now baseball found out that wasn't working in some cities. They're trying to find other lab partners essentially to get test results quicker. Okay, that was a big mistake on their part, but hopefully they've got it figured out by the time the season starts. I feel like you need to kind of have some
of
that happening.
One practice game, not just for football, you're saying for COVID. Which is not the worst take ever. It's like, hey, we need a dry run of an NFL football game with proper COVID protocols across the board. You're not wrong, but the players see the game itself as a needless risk. Why can't we just run, you know, there are rehearsal dinners for weddings. Why can't there be a rehearsal dinner for the COVID? You know, like, why can't you just do a dry run, fellas? Do we actually need to smack our helmets up against each other for you to test to make sure that these protocols actually work? Or can we all come stand on the sideline in our gear and do a run through? Because we'll take a run through with you, but why are we actually playing the game, exposing ourselves to other players? I think that's actually a fair complaint.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. So there was a story that certainly in Kansas City and across the sports world, I feel like it's getting more attention today, but if we didn't have the Mahomes contract and you didn't have what's going on in baseball right now, if this was a week ago, would be the number one story, perhaps?
I would think so.
In sports, and it has to do with Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson. And for those aren't as familiar with the story, this goes back to a couple days ago in an Instagram post from DeSean Jackson in which he cited a Hitler quote. First of all, it's a fake Hitler quote. So, I mean, okay, like that's...
Like, not only are you going to use a Hitler quote, but use a
Stephen
fake
Jackson's
one?
Making this whole thing.
Much worse.
And Stephen Jackson, we can get to in a second, although I really have no interest in talking about Stephen Jackson. He has doubled down and tripled down on everything. But essentially, the message was, again, it was a fake quote from what he thought was Hitler. And it was a very, very anti-Semitic quote, to say the least. And it's something that's been debunked a long, long time ago. And at the time, DeSean Jackson didn't see anything wrong with the quote. The Eagles have since responded and said they spoke with Jackson about his social media posts and said, you know, he's, regardless of whatever his intentions were, they're offensive, harmful, and appalling. DeSean Jackson came out with an apology initially, which was more of a, yeah, I'm sorry if I offended you type of apology, right? I'm sorry for those that I offended. And then he went with a third apology that was a little more specific to the Jewish community and those that were offended by this. Look, I think for starters, for me, I think DeSean Jackson is just an absolute moron, if you really want to know the truth, because you are citing something that's not, you weren't even smart enough to know that it was a fake Hitler quote. Okay? Like, for, I mean, let alone a actual Hitler quote. That's
the stupidity
almost even
of thinking
even
that might
worse.
Be unifying in some way.
Yeah, in his statement, he said, I apologize. I was trying to uplift and unify. I don't know about you. I don't think that, you know what, those Hitler quotes are exactly where I'm headed to unify people. That's not usually the first reaction I would have.
No.
He's just, he's a moron in this entire thing. The and worst, that's what's frustrating about it as well, is like he just flat out, it's just completely, you shouldn't even have to be educated to know that you shouldn't be using a Hitler quote or a fake Hitler quote, but he just uneducated about the whole process. And then you've got, yes, Steven Jackson, who is saying, well, no, DeSean Jackson was telling the truth.
Still today, he is saying those things. He is still perpetuating a stereotype, and I'm not going to repeat it because it doesn't deserve to be repeated, but he's still perpetuating a stereotype of an entire community on an entire, like, for, you know, blaming that on the entire system of injustice that he's for. Steven Jackson has been fighting really hard at the front of the George Floyd movement. There had been people who had been really critical of him just because of, like, you know, just like they're critical of everybody who supports the Black Lives Matter movement. And all he does is, not only does he say racist things about an entire group of people, and then continues to fight for saying those racist things, he also takes away from the support for the other thing that was trying to fight racism. He's trying to say these people, he's being racist to say stop racism. This doesn't make any sense. This is not a good system to employ. And I'm glad, like, again, I'm not going to repeat some of the things he's saying on Instagram Live today. You're more than welcome to go find them. But it obviously purports a lot of stereotypes about the Jewish community. And also their, I don't know, his apparent feeling that that's like that group of people is completely at fault for the entire issues in his, like, in the systemic racism that exists in America.
And that's the part that's, I think,
it's really disturbing stuff. That's incredibly frustrating.
That's the most disturbing part, is because it's perpetuating, you know, stereotypes, but also like beliefs that we're talking years and
hundreds,
years,
hundreds thousands
of things that have
thousands.
Taken place. I think overall it's not him in particular, more so just some of the responses I have seen from it as well. Just people aren't as educated about Judaism, for example. I mean, I think it goes to probably an education system more than anything else as well. And,
well, there's,
you know,
plenty of issues.
It's not, you know, an institutionalized problem, right? We're not talking about, like, you know, like, for those that don't know, I mean, some of you are like, I am Jewish. I'm not worried about, right, if I'm getting pulled over or walking down this, nobody knows I'm Jewish just walking around. I'm not worried about police brutality or anything like that. It's not on that level of racism. I'm not trying to compare the two whatsoever. But I do think within it, there's a lot of people that are like, what's anti-Semitic about the comment? I'm like, well, what do you mean? How do you not know what's anti-Semitic? But that's the response I've seen from a lot of people. And I think it's just a lack of education. I thought Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs lineman, obviously the brother of Mitchell Schwartz, he put out a video last night. I thought it was fantastic in kind of what he described, what is something that is just completely false that was put out there by DeSean Jackson, and then now being backed up and like reaffirmed
by
Steven Jackson. And so that's what's frustrating, and a little bit of frustration that we haven't seen other athletes step up and call this out either.
Well, and this is, yeah, and it's been weirdly quiet, and maybe it's because there was other sports news booming. But yes, Gold, you're absolutely right. I do encourage, by the way, I read Ray Allen's old piece from the Players Tribune today about why he visited Auschwitz. Because a lot of stuff, like we talked about, this is like one of those things, like, if you don't see it, you don't feel like it's real. Educate yourself and you'll find out just how real some of these things are, is what I would generally tell people.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.